Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Behind Massive Screens. I just wanted to jump in real quick. This episode is about concept art, but sadly, we did have some sound issues during recording, so the sound is not really up to our regular quality. With that said, we think it's a really interesting episode, and it's not that bad. Just wanted to let you know ahead of time. With all that said, on to the show. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Behind Massive Screens, a game development podcast here from Massive Entertainment. And I'm joined today by Marie and Toppi, senior concept artist, Toppi, and concept artist for Marie. Welcome. I'm super, super. I always say I'm excited, but I'm super excited about this topic.
Thanks.
Thank you.
How are you
nice
doing?
Nice to be here.
Yeah, I'm very happy to be here. This is exciting.
I'm glad. So we're going to talk about art today, which is one of those like topics that I'm kind of burning for, drawing a lot myself, of course, not on your levels whatsoever, but I'm super excited to have you here. But before the usual question that always comes up, Marie, can you describe just in a couple of sentences, what does a concept artist do?
So a concept artist come up with, they create and communicate either like a character, environment, props, etc., and sets the whole visual feeling.
Right.
Of something. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would you add something?
No, I don't think I think that was pretty good.
Good summary.
Good summary.
Yeah, I think we need to make one, just one distinction, because we've had character art here before, but then we were talking about 3D. For you guys, we're talking about 2D. Mm.
Right. Yeah, mainly. It doesn't have to be 2D, that's the common way.
Yeah, there's a common way. What would the 3D part be here?
Sometimes when we're dealing with 3D environment, it is beneficial for concept artists to work on 3D and present their concepts in three dimensions just to be able to show everything.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it does sometimes mix a little bit with 3D modeling, but it's a complicated topic.
Good thing that we have a podcast to talk about those things on. But starting out, another usual question is, how did you end up here at Massive? Let's start with the topic this time.
Sure. So I started studying industrial design back in Finland. In school, I noticed that there's a thing called concept art, got interested, started looking it up online, started practicing, then started slowly working on mobile games, then building up my portfolio. Finally got into Ubisoft in Helsinki, so the Red Lynx studio.
Right.
There, did 4.5 years there, and then applied to Massive, and
here we go.
That's it. Yeah.
Were you always interested in art? Like, do you come from a drawing background?
Yes and no. So I used to draw a lot as a kid, but I never took it seriously or never thought about like it could be a profession.
Right.
So I have a music background. That was my first sort of thing that I studied or maybe thought that I would be a musician. But then I switched. I thought that, hey, this drawing thing is actually pretty cool, and put my effort to that.
that's an interesting switch. We had someone on who were either going to be an animator or a doctor. So why not? Right. Music and art. I guess that makes sense.
Ah. Yeah.
Marie, you come from a slightly different way in.
Yes, I do. So yes, my background is fashion design. And I started at Massive about a year ago soon. And my way in was, so I won the Young Swedish Design Scholarship, which was a collaboration with Massive. And it was a concept artist scholarship for 6 months.
Yeah.
And but before that, I've been very interested in implementing fashion into gaming. So this was my way in. And luckily, I got it.
we're going to get back to the fashion part because it's really interesting, because it feels like not only did you incorporate fashion into gaming, but kind of gaming into some of your fashion as well.
Mm.
But we'll get back to talking about that later, because it's amazing stuff. I'm just going to let jump the lead there. All right. So going back to the concept artist you were talking about, let's dig in a little bit more. What would you say primarily the functions of the job are? Like, where does a concept artist start? Let's set up a hypothetical project. We're working on a post-catastrophe shooter game set in Washington, D.C. Why not?
I was gonna say New York as well.
Yeah, New York or Washington, D.C. We can have pitch meetings about that.
Yeah, sounds cool.
It does, doesn't it? So where does the concept artist come in, and where do we start?
So, I mean, basically, it's about ideas and communicating ideas,
mm-hmm.
I would say. It's the main task.
Definitely. Like,
how do you find ideas in this?
That's a good question.
What kind of ideas? Let's dig into the philosophy of art.
Yeah, yeah.
The philosophy of art.
I mean, it's about... when you explain the brief in words, everybody thinks about it in their own way. So we need artists to communicate how's the way we want to present the post-apocalyptic, world. How does it look? How does it feel?
Right.
So that's where we come in. But how do we find the ideas? That's a lot of
imagination.
Yeah, digging around, like looking for any connection to like what would be interesting to see. How does the world react when stuff happen? What do people do when how do people react to things? And loads of stuff that we just need to sort of familiarize ourselves with, and then do art.
Do art.
Yeah.
Just do it.
Easy.
Yeah, but it feels like you first just get like a feeling of something, and then you just need to trigger like an inspiration for it.
Yes.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was wondering about. Like the feeling, you have to get it. Like games are a huge undertaking, of course. There are a lot of like creative people that put these things into words and then ask concept artists, and then from rolling from there to kind of present those ideas. But how do you encapsulate, this is really going into art, I guess, but how do you encapsulate someone else's ideas? How do you get started on that process? Because or does the concept artist just out of nowhere think, this would make sense, so this would be cool? Like, how does that process work with other people involved?
I guess it also depends on like what the theme is first.
Right.
Because I think like also for me, when it comes to like tactical stuff, it's like it's not really in my nature or like a lot that I've been doing. So that's also about researching and see what's actually tactical gear.
Right.
Like, so then it's not so much about imagination straight away, or, you know, then it's actually also researching like what's possible to do, or like how does it actually look and how does it work?
Yeah, right. Research. And, that's a big thing.
And like, Topi has helped me a lot when it comes to like weapons.
Right.
Somehow I think those are way smaller than they actually are.
Yeah. No, it's a huge weapon, actually.
Sniper gun. Well, it's not that small.
Yeah. I think there is like part of it is very boring, like research and very systematic, like familiarizing yourself with the topic. But I do also think that usually like artistic persons have some kind of emotional way of understanding stuff, which might differ from people to people. But
yeah,
I don't know how to explain it, but I do believe that we have some way of understanding emotional connections.
Right. That's just this capturing, again, the kind of the teamwork, how these things are built from the ground up always fascinates me. You see early concept art for a project, like it has to come from somewhere, has to start somewhere. And as you both say, theme, research, etc. But it's still, that's the thing about, I've said art so many times, the word is losing its meaning, but it is so much about something abstract. It awakes something in you, right? We have concept art here in the background from The Division, another post-catastrophe game set in New York, completely different from the game we're talking about. But it's still that image kind of invokes a feeling of the agent standing there, and there's a street in front of him, kind of dilapidated buildings, obviously something gone terribly wrong.
Yeah.
It's just how an artist is able to take that description, like, hey, something gone wrong, it's dark, it's like how that is built from the ground up. It's just so fascinating.
Yeah, yeah. I think we resonate with these themes or archetypes of what feels scary or menacing.
Right.
So as you said, like dark, and if something is broken, there's like theme of something is wrong.
Yeah. But you also have even more practical. We talked about it. We have a nice little list here of stuff that's actually part of your job. And we were talking about emotions, creating, communicating those. But you there's more to it than that. You don't just draw a beautiful picture or a cool outfit. There's more to it than that. You just don't leave the art for other people.
Yeah. Actually, like, the art isn't necessarily always have to be beautiful. That's not the goal of our job. It's about communication. And usually good drawing skills are necessary to communicate, but that's not always the goal. Just there needs to be a good idea.
Yeah.
That's the, yeah. But it's, there's lots more to it than just exactly as you said, like, we don't just leave the art for people to ooh and over. usually there's a problem we're solving. So we need to communicate, how does a character feel? He needs to be this and that, but we don't know how to show it.
Right.
So then we come in and we start solving the problem for other people.
Mm.
Like, this is the ways we can make it feel like a bad guy. And then we show those to people that actually can make the game.
Right.
Yeah.
And yeah, that would, with characters and the whole feeling around it. Like, from coming from then fashion, this feels more like a costume design as well, when it comes to apparel, which is, since you need to have the theme like beforehand, and who is this person, and what's the story behind, and stuff like that, which is not something you do in the beginning of a design process within fashion.
Right.
That happens afterwards, like, who wears this things.
Right.
If you're not talking about like more target groups, which is more loose and like, this is for a traveler between 20 to 50 years.
Right.
Middle class. So it's more like, to get to adapt that sort of, who is this character, and who or how would he or she or they dress?
Right.
Yeah.
We're actually going to come back to that, because now we're almost touching on player customization and player choice, how they decide to dress their characters as well. We have also here inspiring the team.
Yeah, I have a funny story. So I was called in a meeting. There were some guys in a suit talking about games and how to make games good. And I was called in to show some sketches. And when I arrived to the meeting room, everyone looked so boring, like they were so bored and just defeated. They were talking for hours about numbers and, you know, all that important stuff. Then I came in and laid down the sketches. And as soon as people saw the visual stuff, they got so excited. That was my like first sort of experience of how concept art and how visual stuff can get people going, because they instantly like can see what's going on. What are we talking about actually?
Mm.
So I think that's like that's how we can inspire the team. And then the team starts to develop their own ideas when they have something to latch on, some like grit on the ideas.
Mm.
Yeah, I think that's cool.
Yeah, it's like having a boring presentation with only text.
Exactly.
It's not that intriguing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Quite intimidating.
Yeah.
It sounds like there's a lot of onus on the character or the concept artist, to even get like so much kickstarted.
Yeah, definitely.
In order to get the ball rolling with everything from character art, of course, that's inherently connected to what you do, but also just general the whole feel of the game spring out of what you are doing.
Yeah, exactly. Same with the selling ideas. Like it's very common for us to do art for if someone is doing a pitch, they usually want to have some art with them just for that same reason, like to get the idea across. And it's more easy to sell ideas if you can show like this is how it could look.
Right.
Yeah.
But you also work with so many different aspects. We talked about this classic The Division poster. I'm sorry to all podcast listeners right now. Many of you probably know the kind of the idea of the Division art, but because you have both the character and the environment, all of that stuff comes together. And I know you work, Mary, mostly with characters. Like we touched upon it briefly before, like how does a villain dress? How does a hero dress? But how do you approach the characters? If you're supposed we're in the pitch stage here, you need to kind of sell a character. How does the process look for you?
Yeah, how does it look? Like first, I mean, I mainly do apparel as well. So
right.
Not really like characters. Yeah, so I start, so the process looks like, so I get the brief or like the theme. And first I just start to, I mean, since it's all about clothing, I start to think like, yeah, how would the silhouette look like? Like what could match this sort of a feeling of who the character is, sort of, yeah. And then, I research, I try to find as much inspiration on the ideas I have and just find small little things that triggers it even more. And I can say this is also quite new for me to only sit like in front of a computer to get ideas.
Right.
And usually I'm all over the place, like from libraries, out on the street, in vintage shops, like everywhere. And then just let it rolling, I think. Like it's like you need to get this little snowball first. Like what is it that I'm looking for? And what sort of silhouette do I want? And what type of garments fits into that?
I've seen your screen and you do a lot of research. You have tons and tons of images usually open.
It is so funny because those images, it would be so hard to put it on like a mood board, for example, because it's like this little thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
In it. And then I see like the potentials around that. And then it's like, I like that little detail or how can I, it triggers something or if it's a pattern or a print or materials within it too.
Yeah. Yeah, now we're kind of like slowly touching upon, we're jumping all over the place here, but your fashion background. Like, how does that help you in, first of all, tell us a little bit about how did you end up in fashion and then going from there, of course, through the young Swedish design we talked about before, but the differences between what you did before and doing this, going from what was physically tangible objects that you could dress up in that would change your appearance and style to this, which is fully digital, which changed the look and style of your digital character. Like, what's that process been like, the journey been like, and what did you bring from one thing to the other?
So yeah, I'm gonna try to sum it up.
Yeah, it feels like it could be a podcast in itself.
But first, so I first got interest in implementing fashion into gaming with in my graduation work at Beckmans. So I studied my BA at Beckmans College of Design in Stockholm, and graduated 2018. So with my graduation work, that's when, because I always touch upon escapism in my work. It's also like fashion is about that thing. I mean, it's a dream world you kind of, or it's a dream you present to someone.
Right.
And likewise with like gaming, it's somewhere like you go to just get encapsulated into that world.
Right.
So that's how I was thinking like, why not gaming? I mean, it's such interesting world. It's the same, like you're there with your avatar inside a game and especially with MMOs then, that caught my interest.
Right.
Since there's other players behind the other avatars, and then it makes it more important for you to have your appearance in game as well.
Yep.
So I ended up making a collection where I was going to modify Counter-Strike with my collection, and came into a collaboration with a 3D artist then to actually 3D model it. And then I moved on to do my master's, and then I wanted to have more control over my work as well, and to get into more 3D modeling and start to see more potential like within the fashion industry as well, to get into gaming and the digital world overall, since it's quite funny because it's all about change is in fashion, but it's quite traditional in the way in like the analog work and the way you always show fashion and that sort of thing. So I just saw like a great potential there to move it forward, and both to get into 3D worlds, but also for like the sustainability aspect within fashion, so for the design process overall. And that's how it started. But it was also, I remember like the first, so I was interviewing because I didn't know that much about gaming beforehand. But I always loved the games, and I was always playing on my brother's PlayStation and Game Boys and everything when he allowed me. And then, so I had to do like a lot of research, and the easiest way to, or the fastest way to get more knowledge and information is to ask people and interview them. And so, which I did in my first work then. So I got in contact with this female gamer, and she said that because she was living in Stockholm then, and her husband was living in LA at that time. And she said for them to be able to hang out when they're not together, they go into a game and play together.
Right.
And I just found that so fascinating.
Yeah.
It was like an aha moment that this is like, this is cool.
Now,
as someone who spent way too much time in MMORPGs just to make my character look cool, totally get that. And also it was really fascinating when I saw your stuff for the first time, being told that you were coming here, and I go on your Instagram and check your stuff, like your gaming collection things that you made in the past. They are amazing.
Oh, you like them?
Yeah. Oh. It was like, she's coming here? She's going to work on our games? What?
So you can borrow them.
Please. I think my entire team want to dress them. They're not small. It's a really cool journey. And I think what you're doing speaks a lot for the future as well when it comes to how important it is for character, where it's been for a long time. We were grinding silly stuff in World of Warcraft like 20 years ago just to look cool, but it feels more and more important.
Yeah. And I mean, technology is just going to be better as well. So,
yeah.
Which will open up even more doors for what will be possible to do.
And that's the ease as well, I guess, compared to like dressing up your avatar in Second Life, also like 20 years ago, the kind of hellscape you had to go through just to dress up your character in any sort of way.
Oh, it's so funny to look at those
clothing
in there. And the clipping, there was so much clipping.
So much. I think the only thing I managed to was to put a part of a horse on my head. I think it was one of the default things you got. I think it was a horse head, and I managed to put it on top of my skull on my avatar. I think that then I just quit quit the game. Is this enough? All right. So let's get back to our game. Mm-hmm. You've had a briefing, obviously, from someone, art director, creative director, all that. You've created the first kind of art. You're setting the tone. Where do we go from here?
Then usually it's if we have the art, it's feedback.
Yeah.
So we present it to whichever is in lead, usually art director. And he looks at it and... some thoughts come into his mind if it's fitting our game or not, if it's solving the issues we're trying to solve. And we get feedback. Mm. So fix this, fix that. This doesn't work at all. Anything in between. Do more this. And then we go back. We do more art. Yeah, and then we show that, and we get more feedback, and then there might be an issue that we didn't understand before, like okay, how do we fix this? And then we need to start talking with technical stuff, and if this build here is even possible to do technically, okay, we need to talk to 3D artists, technical artists. Yeah, the Pandora's box is open. And,
I think, with the restrictions, that's also one main thing that comes in to the beginning of making a concept.
Yes.
Like, what's the restrictions and the boundaries we have when we're making it?
Yeah, that's so important.
What kind of boundaries do we mean in this context?
So for the customizations, that was like I had no idea about those restrictions before I started. And for example, like how we're working now with the customization in for apparel events in Division, it's like how long can the sleeve go before it meets the gloves? How tight or wide can the pants be? Everything like that. The neckline, hats, masks, there's like those bounding box that we need to respect. Otherwise, it's not even possible. So if we would hand in a work where it's technically not possible, it's just rubbish in the end.
Yeah, because there's a very specific way that every game handles the assets, like how they actually build them.
Right.
So if the concept art doesn't meet at all the restrictions or the way things are made, it's hard to like do anything with the concept.
Mm. Right.
But that's a tricky thing because we also need to be fluid and try out ideas and push things like different directions. So there's like this play between how to break the rules almost.
Right.
I would say like, okay, I know we need to have this belt here, but what if the belt is something else? It's not a belt. It's a rope, or you start to try out things in a different way and breaking, breaking the rules, I think.
Mm. So looking at talking about feedback and technical restraints, having to look at that, take that into account all the time, has to be a very iterative process all the time. So how does that generally look and work constantly? Because we see that in gaming in general. We see that in basically everybody we're talking to. Iterative, doing stuff over and over and over again to make it ultimately shine a lot, of course. So how does that process work for you? What's it like to get something back repeatedly?
For me, I need to somehow separate myself a bit from the art. I don't think it's art. It's something in between of work and art. Because if I think of it as it's my baby, the perfect artwork that I've been grinding and putting my soul into, like, completely, and someone doesn't accept it as it is, that's hard.
Yeah.
So you need to have a little bit of distance, at least for me. Because I also think that no concept should go through without a revision.
Right.
Like, there needs to be some pushback to make it as good as possible. So yeah, just need to accept the fact that it will come back. And when you think it's done, it's not done.
Right.
Never.
Yeah. It's just part of the process too. So I guess you don't really think about it anymore. And if come back with not so much feedback, then you're like, rather than.
Yeah, exactly. That's true.
Yeah. But it's also, I mean, before sending in something as well, it's good to talk with other people. I mean, I ask Toppy's feedback frequently to just like, how do you, like, would this suit, or how do you read this? Like, is something missing? Like, how do you, what do you think of it before? Have I missed something?
Right.
Because it's quite, I guess, like, normally, if you go back to the fashion industry again, like, you sit quite a lot of people and you can work on the same sort of thing. And then you talk very openly about it. Whilst here, it is quite individual at first. And then you can start.
Yeah, then we share.
Yeah. But then again, I mean, I guess it depends who it is.
For sure, yeah.
Because I assume that a lot of people do ask for feedback from their fellow concept artists.
Yeah, I think it's sort of like built into the pipeline already.
Mm.
We don't think about it. It's just, something we do, like, we get brief, we do something, then it's time to get feedback, and it's just the way it goes. Yeah.
Yeah. And often, I mean, it makes sense, the stuff, like, to make it, to improve it.
Yeah, right. Of course.
Yeah.
And
I realized that back in when I was working on the Division 2, and we were looking at art coming in, like, and I would just sit there in these meeting rooms and I'd be showing, like, okay, so here's the new stuff that we got. And I was like, that's super cool. And then the next one, that's super cool. Mm. Ship it. And you'd have people, the professionals in the room, like, well, I'm going to change that. I was just ready to just push the button, get it out there. I think I'm way too impressionable to ever do that job. I super respect the people that can find those things. And just, if you fine tune this and you change that a little bit. And then, of course, what came out on the other side was much better.
Sure.
But for me, it was just like, whoa.
Yeah. I think it might be harder to give feedback than receive feedback.
Right.
Overall.
That's true.
Yeah. Not if you, I remember so many fellow students in fashion school just came out crying.
Oh no.
Like, so many times.
Really?
And it's like, you need to distance yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's the rule number one.
Yeah.
That's harsh.
For sure.
But I think overall they have this mentality as well to first break someone down to then build them up.
Wow.
Military boot camp style. Yeah. I'm kind of glad I'm not in the fashion industry.
Yeah, right, yeah. I don't think it's like here at Massive.
No, yes, no.
Not at all.
But working with, talking about doing something over and repeatedly and redrawing and stuff, what it comes down to as well is that you have a very creative job. You need to be creative every day, basically.
Yeah.
But it's still a job.
Yeah.
It's so easy to forget, especially when we look out. Oh, you get to draw all day. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. But it still need to be creative.
Yeah.
How do you keep that going?
Yeah, I think that's the hardest part of our job. Mm. Like constantly show up and stay creative. Mm. Mm. But it's you need to put in info so you can take it out.
Right.
So just at least for me, like consuming interesting stuff, consuming art, movies, music, like just random facts from Reddit.
Yeah, that can be very like small little tricks to keep you going.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, if you know, like, no, this is not going well now, like maybe switch to something else.
Yeah,
right.
And then come back, or if you're stuck on something, or if you realize that you're just sitting with the same little tiny thing that doesn't really matter overall, like then you need to zoom out.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Do something else.
Yeah. But I mean, it can be exhausting to just have that being creative. Like I need to come up with ideas.
Yeah. And then there's the time pressure. Like I need to be creative today till lunch.
Yeah.
And then I need to hand over something. That's the pressure. Yeah. Then the pressure is on.
Yeah.
Like, how do I create stuff when my mind is blank?
Yeah. It would be nice to have like some days sometimes to just reflect on it, then come back.
Yeah.
But I guess then you would come up with something completely different.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know how to. You just need to look at other stuff and trust that something sparks.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And also have fun. Like if I get bored with something, then I try to find something that makes me like, okay, if I put in this. This makes it fun.
Yes, fun. That's so good.
So you need to feel exciting about stuff.
Yeah,
and if you're not working on something you find exciting at first, then you need to find it.
Right. Yeah, I don't know what
that keeps you going.
There's something with fun. I don't know, it shows. I don't know why or how, but I've noticed like if you're having fun, the work will be better.
Yeah.
Right. Mm, that makes sense.
Yeah. Mm. Somehow.
Luckily, this is kind of fun.
Yeah, I it's also almost like a muscle. You can train it.
Right.
Mm. And also there's so many small parts of it.
Yeah.
That you can still focus on that breaks it up.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think that helps too. That becomes like a design process almost too. Yeah.
Yeah, again, you are both professionals. And as I said, it's work. So I guess that's... I'm not sure where I'm going with that sentence, but it's still, I mean, it's your job. You have been doing this for a long time. You've been creative for a long time. You are skilled.
And there's a process. There's a process that we are familiar with.
Yeah.
Yeah. The process helps a lot.
Mm. Yeah.
There's something you can lean on. Like, I know how to do this. I've been through this process many times. So something good will happen.
In the end.
Yeah.
Speaking about the process, so let's get down to brass tacks. First of all, software is one of those things we usually talk about. So software and hardware, et cetera. What do you do? What do you use to create the art that you're working on?
Do you want to start?
Or? Sure. I work on, I work with Photoshop and Blender. That's a 3D program. And I use Cintiq. So that's like... screen that I can draw on.
Right.
So I don't usually use paper or traditional media, though I could, but yeah. Then I do some Marvelous Designer, which is a 3D program used for creating garments, like clothes. Yeah, that's really cool software. But that's pretty much it for me. Like quite simple process in a way, like drawing and painting in Photoshop. That's my jam.
Right.
So hardware stuff. I also use Cintiq, and I do a lot of photo bashing.
Oh yeah.
And also Marvelous. So I used to work in a software called Plo 3D. Which I think is even better than Marvelous. But it's the same developer.
Right.
So it's basically, Chloe is targeting the fashion industry and Marvelous is targeting the games industry.
Right.
And I guess like the big difference is mainly like the tools. And Chloe has a built-in render, which Marvelous doesn't.
Oh,
so, which means
right.
I also use in, I also work in Substance Painter
right.
to export it.
Okay.
So I will be able to render it and put textures. But it also depends. Sometimes just take screen prints then instead from Marvelous if I just want to have a silhouette. And
people that were listening to the character art episode probably recognize some of these programs because they came up then as well.
Yeah.
But you mentioned Photobashing.
Yeah.
And just tell us a little bit about what that technique is.
So how it's pretty much like what do you call it? Cut and paste.
Yeah.
To fast get up a shape.
Right.
And ideas.
Yeah.
And then overpaint.
Yeah. So take a photograph, bring it in Photoshop.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Photoshop.
Yeah.
It's the main tool.
Yeah. Cut something out of the photograph, paste it in place. It's sort of like those books with like dolls with paper dolls.
Oh yeah.
You take clothes here and there and.
Yeah.
You can fit them together and see what happens.
Yeah.
That's the way I like to think about it.
Yeah.
I think one question that also always comes up, which is very important for this, is to get started in the area that we're talking about, in this case, concept art. But of course, again, getting started in art is huge. But if we just try to focus on concept art, where would I, as a beginner, even start to approach this subject? Where should I have started? Where should I have started? That sounded like I'm giving up on life. Where should I have started 25 years ago?
First of all, it's never too late.
Ah, there we go. I feel better now.
I mean, a year ago. but yeah, we came up with the same tips for that. When we were talking about it beforehand, because these were stuff that really helped me and that I think is worth forwarding.
Right.
And yeah, you can.
What did we talk about?
So it's pretty much, first of all, like looking in, look at ArtStation
yes.
to just see like how does people do concept art and approach it and how is it presented? And that's a really, because that really. If it's a big difference, like from industry to industry, how things are actually presented,
right.
and what's needed to show ideas.
Yeah,
and then we were also talking about FCD school on YouTube.
That's a huge thing that almost every concept artist has gone through. It's a YouTube channel with the other. There's a concept art school in Singapore, but they do free online videos. Online classes almost, and that's the way I got started. So just checking how things work, but also I think you need to focus on drawing too. That's very important, like just to get your artistic technique started.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, if you're gonna start.
that's kind of what makes this so tricky. Of course, all the subjects that we cover, you have to. Get started somewhere. You have to start small, etc. But just with this as well, you can't just sit down basically and say, I'm going to be a concept artist and go to concept artist school without having any actual background in it.
But it's amazing how much info you can find online. You can basically build your own education from YouTube, which is amazing. Of course, you need to also be able to curate what you see and watch. But let's say if you want to start drawing and painting, just YouTube, pretty much. You can find so much there to get started, of course. Then you can, when you get going, you can start looking at art schools if you want to, depending on where you live. That could be a good option. Maybe design, I really like.
Yeah, I was going to say that too.
I think design is good background for concept artists because it is the design process is very much involved in concept art, mm-hmm. like how you sort of break down things and break down briefs and how to design for someone else. You're not designing for yourself. You're designing for players.
Right. Mm.
So yeah, design schools could be interesting options too.
Yeah, I was going to say the same. Like, my impression is that a lot of concept artists comes from a design background,
yeah,
which makes sense. I mean, because the design process you learn while going to a design school, I guess, is pretty much different from an art school.
Mm, yeah, probably.
And because it's about coming up with ideas and right. designing something new.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll have links to both ArtStation and FCD School in the show notes. Make sure to check that out. And yeah, YouTube in general, as I mentioned, I started trying to draw again, pick something up 22 years later. Like, okay, I haven't drawn anything proper in 22 years. Let's get started. And the YouTube was my life there for a while.
Yeah.
Just the amount of stuff there, different tones, different people, just all.
Yeah.
Almost to the point that it was too much.
Yeah, like, that's true too.
Overwhelming, looking, right?
Yeah, that feels like if there's an actual school that's doing this, maybe it's better to go that route because I would just jumping, oh, I'm going to try this technique, I'm going to try that, I'm going to think about this, and just
sure.
overwhelming
sure.
after a while. Some people being really nice, other people yelling at me. I was like, yeah, I can't do that.
Yeah. Main thing is to just draw.
Yeah.
Someone can teach you to draw, but you can also teach yourself. That's just yeah. keep on going. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's a long road, but it will reward will be in the end.
Yeah, I'm really practicing on drawing now.
Right.
That's never been my biggest skill.
Right.
But I guess, yeah, it's finding a way to communicate yeah. the best, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, coming back to that as well, like really the communicating part is super interesting and worth keeping in mind all the time, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I guess some concept artists only do 3D modeling too.
Yeah, there's many options.
Yeah.
Yeah, you actually have this on the list of links. Mm-hmm. Look, we do prepare some things.
Yeah,
we do. Blender as well is on this list.
Blender, yeah.
ZBrush.
Yeah.
Blender is good because it's free.
That's always good.
Yeah. So anyone can pick it up and start learning.
Yeah. Right.
It's amazing. It's really good tool. People here use it also. Mm. It's free, completely free, an open source program, but like very good.
Mm.
Yeah. I was using Cinema 4D before and working in that software in school. But after I finished school, it's so expensive.
Right.
So it feels like it's just...
Yeah.
Yeah. So learn Blender.
Yes. Yes. Definitely.
Thank you both so much for coming here. This has been kind of chaotic. There's so much about this topic that it's not fuzzy is the wrong word, but there's so much surrounding art and drawing and communicating and how the both of you get your ideas into what the final product is, is of course, a game of peril, as you were talking about. My mind is kind of, it's all over the place right now.
Yeah.
But thank you both for coming here today.
Thank you for having us.
And I hope we get to do this again very soon.
Yeah.
Thanks a
lot. Very much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.